Our hymn study for tonight is Be Still My Soul, and we'll get right into some of the history of it to give some background to this song. Most of you are probably familiar with it. The tune we sing to it was composed by Finland's best-known composer, Jane Sibelius, in 1899 as part of a patriotic tone poem. It was also a not-so-subtle protest by the composer against the rising censorship of Russia against the Scandinavian countries at that time. It seems like Russia has always been pushing against them, but at 1890, in that period of time, is when this was when this song or this music was written. I wanted to play it for you because it's an exciting piece of music, but I didn't want to take up the amount of time that it would require it. Through most of the 9-minute piece, the music is very turbulent and agitated, but it emerges at the end with a wonderful hymn-like section, all of this depicting the struggles of the Finnish people, the people of Finland, and their hope. And this hymn ends with what we would use the word serenity and hope. Now, there's a lot more that could be said about that, but the hymn text was authored by a lady by the name of Katharina Amelia Dorothea von Schlegel. They don't print all those names when they put it in the hymn book. They just put Katharina von Schlegel. Now, she was born in 1697, and very little is known about her, but her name suggests aristocratic family roots in Prussia, which later became part of Germany. And this hymn text appears during the time of the German Pietist movement, which was very similar in spirit to the Wesleyan revivals in England and America in about that same time. The composer was from Finland, the author was from Germany, but the lady that brought it into English was Scotch. She was a Scotch Free Church, Jane Borthwick, and her sister, along with a third lady, Katharina Winkworth, were three ladies that brought much of the rich German hymnody that had been written, brought it into the English language. And you'll see their name at the top of hymnals quite often. So Jane Borthwick is the translator. So this hymn comes to us from three different countries and finally came into the United States through the Presbyterians around 1933. Now, the purpose that the hymn that she wrote of her hymn seems to be comforting and encouraging believers in their trials, indicating she knew something of trials. Now, I know that the Pietist movement and the Wesleyan revivals were revivals because the main clergy of the main churches was so corrupt, and the churches themselves were corrupt, and the message of the pure gospel and the grace of God was missing. So you know that she had trials of her own. Her scripture basis for this is Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God," and 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words." So to start with, before we go further into that hymn, we want to get the scriptural background for this. Would you turn, please, to Psalm 46? And I'm going to get a little help from Charles Spurgeon, some comments along here. This is a tremendous psalm, and I want us to look at it and see if the Lord has a blessing for us as we connect it to this hymn, Be Still My Soul. Psalm 46. Look at the title, please. "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth." Alamoth. In Hebrew, it comes from the Hebrew word alma, or virgin, or young woman, and was to be sung by female voices. Now, I want to emphasize the fact that the psalm was created to be sung. Now, imagine yourself singing these words, these thoughts, okay? In 1 Chronicles 15, David returns the ark to Jerusalem in the correct manner after he had tried to do it in the wrong manner. And at that time, he lays out instructions for certain people to do certain jobs performance of the music that was to accompany bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And I'm going to read parts of some of these verses. And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music. And he mentions several instruments, and then he says, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Then we go on to another verse. Several of the people were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Then another verse, and then they were to play on psalteries with psalteries on Alamoth. This tune, this instruction that's in ours. And then in another verse behind that, with harps on Sheminith to excel. Sheminith, they think, was a male choir, whereas the Alamoth might have been a woman's choir, or at least with high voices. And then, and Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Now, these designations cannot really be interpreted with great certainty, but they reveal the care and musicianship that should characterize music to be sung or played in the presence of the Lord. At least, coming down to our generation, if we're not trained musicians, we can at least do what we do thoughtfully. And if we're going to do it for somebody else, we need to be well prepared, not just slung together. Anybody want to sing tonight? You know, there are those places, and I'm sure they get a certain amount of blessing. But we should be ready and willing to prepare ourselves well if we're going to share something in music. This is the biblical example for that concept, okay? Now, the subject of the 46th Psalm is, come what may, God's people are to be happy or blessed. They are secure in Him, and He is present. The song could be called the Song of Holy Confidence. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roll and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, period. What? Though, what? We shall not fear, which he said in verse 1. Now, then the word Selah. Four examples of things that could happen to the creation. Now, let me read get some help here from Spurgeon. First of all, God is our refuge and strength. Our immediate, as much so as with David. God alone is our refuge, and all other refuges are really lies. They're not refuge that we need for our spirit and our life and our soul. A very present help in trouble. The word very is in there, indicating nearer than any human help. In fact, nearer than even the trouble itself. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in our troubles. He is closer to us than the trouble is the idea being conveyed here. Therefore, we will not fear. With God on our side, it is irrational to fear. But worse than that, it's unbelief to not trust Him in fear. Where He is, all power and authority and love is. Therefore, we should not be cowering, and we should not cower. Now, though the earth be removed, the concept here is, though the basis of all visible, tangible things be removed or be changed so that it's unrecognizable. Though that happen, though the mountains be carried into the sea, the most firm of created objects on earth are the mountains. And though they be submerged in utter destruction. These two phrases together set forth unimaginable commotion. Can't imagine that, can we? But if it were to happen, what would you think? What would you be thinking? Well, Spurgeon suggests that these two things also include the overthrow of dynasties, the destruction of nations, the ruin of families, the persecutions of the church, the reign of heresy, and whatever else may at any time try the faith of believers. Now, are we that serious about it? Do we really, really have a refuge in the Lord? That's a question we might ask. Let worst come to worst. The child of God should never give way to mistrust. God remains faithful to His cause and to His people. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, that would be volcanic eruptions. Though all four of these things should happen, we will not fear. And then comes the word Selah. Remember, they're singing this psalm now. So, after such commotion in the music, it may be well to come to pause, giving time for the singers to catch their breath and for us to meditate upon what has been just sung. We don't suspend our song and pause in alarm, but to deliberately retune our strings in the midst of the tumult, determined to sing on. Ours is not the headlong rashness which often passes for courage. We can calmly confront the danger. Yes? That's what He's promised, isn't it? Oh, that all of us would say Selah under trials. But too often, we speak in haste and bewildered lay trembling, shaking hands on the strings and strike the harp with a crash and mar the melody of our life song. Oh, it can happen so easily. It can happen so easily, and sometimes would happen in fear, which we should not be doing. Now, let's look at verses 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall be made glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, you'll notice the language of the psalmist goes back and forth between present and past. And he even speaks of things that are coming in the future as already happened. Well, it's all the same thing. This is our refuge. He is past. He is now. He is in the future for us. He does not change. Now, the Selah comes again. Contemplating this blessed reality, we stop and we rest and we be calm. And let the song of praise continue unstopped, unhindered. Verses 8 through 11 now. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. Now this is reference to what God has done for Israel. The works of the Lord. What desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease under the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder, burns the chariot in fire. Now see, that sounds like it's happening now. It's on its way to happening. It hasn't, but it will. And then He says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth, in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold His works in awe. Mark well His dealings, folks, on behalf of His people. We're not well known, except for the projector people. But we're not well known. We're not significant as far as this world is concerned. We're not really significant beyond these four walls in some respect, other than the Lord's given us this wonderful ministry to this community. But He has worked on our behalf. Go back a few months to that potential lawsuit. Other ways God works on our behalf. It's the same God that David had. Here's a suggestion. Read history in the newspaper with this verse ringing in your ears. I just flipped a little bit of internet news a moment ago, and it just, you know, God is our refuge. Behold the works of the Lord. He is our strength. Let it ring in our ears as we look at what's going on around us. He alone will end the carnage and destruction of war. Be still and know that I am God. Excuse me, but I'm going to stop and do it because I think it's important for this church. You remember a year or so ago, when God said, I want to show that pastor down there in Milton, Florida, a thing or two. I want him to see my heart. I wanted him to see my love. I want him to see my workings. I'm going to put him down for a while. And he had him take that vacation, and he had that terrible accident with his knee and nearly lost his leg, nearly lost his life. So that God could show him His heart and His love. He's testified to that. And he came out of that incident, and he came out of that experience the same person, but with a different look, with a different dependence upon the Lord, He stopped. He was still for a few months to see that God is God. And if you haven't recognized it in the preaching in this last year, then I'm sure you have noticed it. We're getting the God's Word preached to us and taught to us as very, very few are. And I'm going to stay on this positive tonight, but this is the truth. The Lord took our pastor and said, be still for a while. You can't run the program, you can't do the school, you can't do the preaching, you've got to just be still and let me talk to you. He was listening. He was ready to listen. He always listens. He follows. And so he did. And we are benefiting from that year of his incident. I hope you young people, as you teenagers, as you can, as best you can, appreciate that. And all of us, as far as that's concerned. Now, be still and know that I am God. Hold off, ye enemies of God. Wait in patience, believers. Adore Him and Him only, ye partakers of His grace. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. My gospel will go to the heathen, and I will be exalted with among them. There will be heathen in heaven, because He will be exalted among them. I will be exalted in all the earth. Man's sin and its obstinacy, its pride, only makes His majesty shine brighter. The uglier we are, the prettier, the more beautiful He is. And our sin, the fact that we've been saved from that ugly sin, just makes Him brighter. Then verse 11 restates that God is present and that He is our refuge. And then Selah. Rest in continuing contemplation of His praiseworthiness. Don't just stop it. Rest intending to continue to enjoy and to contemplate His praiseworthiness. It is easy to sing a hymn of praise, It is easier to sing a hymn of praise than to continually be in the spirit of thanksgiving and praise. And I consider this a prelude to Sunday. When we hear from you, this is my testimony. I won't take up any time Sunday night. Let us so end our song that our hearts will maintain their uprising devotion, gratitude, and trust. Selah bids the music rest, pause in silence, soft and blessed. Selah bids uplift the strain, harps and voices tune again. Selah ends the vocal strain, still your hearts to God upraise. Now, we're going to get an opportunity to do some of that. I'm going to come down front here, and I'm going to instruct you, give you some instructions for the song that we want to, that we're studying tonight. And then I'm going to ask you to sing it. But I'm going to mess with you, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I want you to come down with me. When we get that, I'll tell you when that's going to happen. You don't need to come down. But I want you to come down here so I can hear you. No, I've got a reason for that. We'll see how that goes when we get there. Now listen carefully. We're going to sing. Speech is already rhythmic. It has a rhythm to it. All right. Singing stretches out or elongates the speech. Elongates the speech. That's what singing does. Melody helps in emphasize the thoughts in the speech. Harmony adds to the thoughtfulness of that. We sing in the mind and with the heart, and the physical part responds to what we're thinking. Now, if we reverse that around like we do so much, and we try to get you to work on the physical, well, we would like to work on your physical part so you could sing with more like Mr. Watt, you know. He has a trained voice. The rest of us just do it. And that's why he's so much better than us. He listened to his teacher and became, all right, so this is what, but the point is, he'll tell you this, you don't sing from the voice first. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's a physical reality. Whether you're singing or whether you're fussing or whatever you're doing, it's coming from the heart. And so when we're singing, we got to generate something in the heart to sing. Okay, well, I'm going on now. Find where I was. Okay. The physical part will respond. Our primary concern tonight and what I want to do with you is not excitement. I'm not after your excitement. I'm not after your emotion. I'm not even after your energy. What we want to do is to think on the reality of the thoughts and the words. And we're going to look at this hymn in a minute, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. We want to put our focus on the scriptural truths and the life experiences that the words speak about. The words are going to reveal to us certain life experiences that people have. It's going to reveal to us certain truths that God has shared with us. That's what we're going to be thinking about. Energy, proper emotion will come. Look at it now, cold as it is tonight, it'll come in proportion to the amount of reality in our thinking. A good actor, stage actor, is one who is good at imagining reality. Okay, that's what he does. He imagines that he's somebody else doing something else. And that's it. And if he's good at it, he's believable. Now, we're talking about the things of the Spirit of God tonight. We don't have to imagine the reality. Our hearts should respond to the reality of what we're looking at. Okay? So this is what we're talking about. I want to read very familiar verses. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's life experience. The peace of God ruling while you're living, working, doing. To the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's the eternal truths that we believe that comes out in our actions. life's experiences with God's eternal truth coming through. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Now, I'm calling that a Trinity song. I'm calling our song a Trinity song. It was authored by the Holy Spirit in the heart and mind of the writer. It is sung by His children with the Holy Spirit singing through His children. We're giving thanksgiving to God through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Godhead involved in what we're doing. Okay. Would you turn, please, to page number 245? I want everybody to have a songbook if you can. If there's enough there, get them. Everybody got one, or at least two of you. When you come forward in a minute to sing, I want everybody to have one. There's enough books for us to do that. Now, folks, I'm asking you to get out of yourself a little bit, out of yourself, out of your comfort. Come with me into the realities of this wonderful, wonderful hymn. Please, everybody. Now, I heard some young voices tonight in choir practice. Bless my heart. That's great. That's what we... All right, here we go. Now, we're going to do a couple of things here. I want to talk you through verses, stanza one. You have three stanzas. I have five. All right, here it is. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Now you bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Now look up here. There are changes that are around us that are happening in our society now. They're scary, aren't they? They're not going to stay the same. We're promised all kinds of things. And it's changing so fast, nobody can seem to control it. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best friend. Yes, thy heavenly friend leads to a joyful end, but He takes it through what? Thorny ways. This poet didn't just try to see how good he could. It's not a pitter-patter song. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Stanza two. Be still, my soul. Now, let me say this. This tune goes, be still, my soul. The next time it comes back in the verse a little bit later on, it's, be still, my soul. There's a different attitude by the time you get to the middle of the verse. This is rather matter of fact. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the pace. It doesn't say He's going to try to take care of it when He says He's going to undertake it. That's what I do. Okay, I'll undertake that paint job. That means I'll try to get through it and last long enough to do it. No, not God. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. I like that word, shake there. All now mysterious questions. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to this? What's going to happen when my kids go to college? What's going to happen when I get out of high school? What's going to happen when the bank account gets down and we got more days left than we have months and all this stuff? You know what I'm talking about. What's going to happen to this and that? Mysterious, unknown is going to be what? Bright or clear. When? At last. At last is a time, is a point in time. We'll talk more about that one in another verse. Now I'm going to give you the two stanzas that you don't have. Listen to this. Be still, my soul. When dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears, then shalt thou better know His love, His heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrow and thy fears. Be still, my soul. Thy Jesus can repay from His own fondness all He takes away. Be still, my soul. Begin the song of praise on earth. Believing, that's not believing, it's be, the word be, and then the word leaving. Let it be. Let this life be to thy Lord on high. Acknowledge him in all thy works and ways. So shall he view thee with a well-pleased eye. Be still, my soul. The Son, capital S-U-N, of life divine, shall but more brightly shine through passing clouds. Shall but more brightly shine. We referred to that when we were in the psalm. The sin of mankind and the clouds that we go through are simply going to make him more brightly shine. Now your third verse. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. We're going to be with him. Oh, I love this line. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot. There'll be a time when nobody will remember what sorrow is. That's not now, is it? Sorrow forgot. Look at this one. Love's purest joys restored. You and I don't know anything about love's purest joys. We will. Love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. Here it comes again. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want you to grab a songbook. And I want you to come. I'd like for everybody in the room to be no further back than the third row here, or maybe into the fourth row. You can stand in the aisle. If you folks, some of you don't feel like standing or moving, don't. Stay put. But the rest of us can come. You can come some in the aisle, some down here, some along the side here. I want you to come down here because I want you to see my eyeballs and I want to see yours. You don't need to come right down here necessarily, but yeah, right in there. Just come on down. Oh, I should give an invitation. No. And kind of spread out. Sing parts on this. We got folks up there. Okay, now, I'll be standing up here because I want you to see my eyes and I want to see yours. Lord, being my helper, I will help you, try to help you. What are we trying to do tonight? We trying to create a bunch of emotion? No, we're trying to see the, what's my word, reality. The human reality of the thoughts that are in these words. Okay? Hey, I'm not fussing. I'm not fussing. This is a great joy to me, and I hope it will be to you. We follow. I've already told them I don't want them leading you. I want them to support us. But you're not going to hang on their coattails and let them take you through this song. I want you and I to think it through, okay? It won't go too fast. Come on. Let's enjoy this. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Now, you can glance up and you glance at your book and up and so on and so forth that way. Okay, give us a little introduction, Aunt Carolyn. Here we go. Together, one. Be still, soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Live to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Come on. I think we can do even more. think even more deeply into the thoughts that come and pass you. All right, stanza two. Here we go, together and one. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future at the hand the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake.
For thou mysterious
shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and the winds are still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. When we shall be, wherefore, and where? With the Lord. When this disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow for God, love pure as a joy restored. Be still, my soul, when the change and the tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Yeah, now those last two phrases. Still my soul, when change or tears are past, all safe and blessed, we, you and I, your parents, your loved ones, your grandparents, Dr. Hobbs, Uncle Roy, all the folks mentioned in the Bible that obeyed the scriptures, are going to be there. That's us. And we're going to have a meeting, a getting together, just like we are now. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the center. It's going to be a meeting. It's not just a word with syllables, with sounds. And when's it going to happen? At last. At last. It's here. It's here now. It's happening. It's going to happen at a point in eternity, at last. Now, our response, I think, to that should be one of overwhelming gratitude and just pouring out a heart of love in the reveling in the revelation that it's going to, that it's happened. And yet, we've still got feet on the ground here. We're not there yet. So from this reveling, perhaps the sound in our voices and our minds that is should change to a calming. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And we should be comforted beyond words in that thought that at last we'll be there. Now, we're going to sing that word last for until I get tired of holding it. Probably four counts or so with the reveling, four or so counts with the calming, resting reality of this future truth. And then I want you to keep the open. Don't close it up. Keep it open until I go this way and you go, that's the last sound. Then here's where I go, at last. And then I'm going to go like this. And when I do, I want you to say, Selah. Okay, here we go. Just go, last. Selah. All right, now here we go. Just the last two lines. The last two lines. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. Now, I'm going to stretch some of these things out. So stay with me. Stay intently into the reality, please, together.
Be still, my soul.